Well, welcome everybody. Happy Wednesday morning. Another fantastic episode of Playing with Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. Darren Saul here, your host. And I'm with Jennifer Tamborski, who's joining us all the way from Missouri in the US. Is that right, Jennifer?
I am, yes.
Fantastic. Now, for everybody out there, how to date your ideal client, the 5 steps to digital marketing. If you're interested that, that's what we're going to be chatting about. And it's one of my favorite topics because everybody's always asking me, Jennifer, how do I identify my target audience? Where do they live? How do I, you know, put together an organic marketing strategy that really implements and leverages that content? So we're going to be chatting all about this today, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what you've got to share on this topic.
Awesome. Today.
But before we get in, I thought I'd just give you a quick little intro. For everybody who doesn't know who Jennifer is, Jennifer Tamborski is the CEO and Chief Strategist for Virtual Marketing Experts. Through her 15 years in business, the one thing she has learned is that she loves business and marketing. Have you ever had a topic that you could learn and talk about for hours on end? That's the way she is when it comes to marketing. Jennifer loves developing strategies that help her clients make a difference in the world. And by doing this, she gets to have a hand in changing the world. Very, very cool. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me, Darren.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining me. And I'm very honored to have you all the way from the States today.
I am excited to be able to talk to somebody, you know, from the future, given that it's already tomorrow for you.
That's right. I love it. Now, tell us a bit about you before we jump into this amazing topic, which we're going to explore to the nth degree. Tell us a bit about Jennifer and just tell us a bit about you. I'd love to hear a bit.
So I'm from Missouri, which is pretty much the center of the United States for those that aren't familiar with the U.S., and I started my company. I actually started in the online digital world before it was kind of popular. Uh-huh. I started when my middle one was born, so about 15 years ago. Wow. And have had the opportunity to really grow and learn from some amazing marketers during my time when I was first starting. And when the internet was becoming more and more popular, and I kind of fell into marketing and just realized it's a really amazing way to connect people with one another and to really have that hand in changing the world, because we primarily work with coaches. Yep. And I firmly believe that coaches really can change the world just one person at a time.
Absolutely. And I heard the other day that coaching industry is one of the fastest growing industries in the world at the moment.
It is. And you know, what I found the most fascinating is depending on the type of coach you have, I'm finding a lot of therapists are moving into the coaching realm, right, which is also another perspective on it. And it's just fascinating.
Fantastic. Now, I mean, as you mentioned, a lot of us kind of fall into marketing and in particular digital marketing. So what made you pick it up about 15 years ago?
So when I started in the digital world, it was really as a virtual assistant. Right. And the people who hired me were marketers because they were using the internet. It was pretty, I mean, we're talking 15 years ago. It was still pretty young. Yeah. In its early stages. And so they knew how to use the internet and were teaching their clients how to use the internet and how to be effective at it. And so I spent a long time kind of learning what it is they do and growing really with the internet, right? Yeah. My business and my perspective grew as the internet grew.
Love it. Fantastic. Well, I mean, I'd love to get into this content because it's fascinating to me and it's ever growing and it's ever developing and it's going to be here for a long time. So mm-hmm. People really need to know how to do this stuff properly. But everybody's always asking, you know, we do a lot of business development, we do a lot of marketing, but we don't know exactly who our ideal client is, where our ideal client lives. What's your take on that? How do we start talking?
So those are two different, you know, questions. Who your ideal client is really something that you should, and it's one of the biggest mistakes. That's the mistake number one of the five marketing mistakes I see, is not becoming incredibly clear about who your ideal client is. Yeah. So that's going to include all of the different bits and pieces of it. Things like the demographics. So age, gender, you know, where they live, what they do for a living, are they high school, college educated, those kind of things. But what a lot of people forget about is the psychographics. And that's really where the fun comes in.
Psychographics. So what does that mean?
Yeah, psychographics. That's all about how they think, right? It's all about what are their fears? What are their hopes? What are their dreams? Like, what are they struggling with? You know, it's how they're thinking and what they're thinking about and really what they're focusing, spending most of their time focusing on. Gotcha. And that's really where you create a really good message, is understanding their psychographics.
I like that. So it's not only about knowing who your target market is, it's understanding how they're thinking at a particular point in time.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Very cool. And then once you've identified that target audience, before we even get to that, what are some of the ways that we can actually start to really identify them?
So one of the things that I have my clients do really, because I talk about dating your ideal client. Yep. So that means that it's somebody that not only can get the most benefit from your services, but it's also somebody you like to work with.
Oh, nice. I like that.
So one of the things that I do with my clients is really have them start thinking about who their current clients are, who are they working with, and out of those, who are their favorites? And then kind of start diving into all of that. You know, I actually have one of my clients that she's got a specific client that she loves to work with, and her audience is based off of that client, like just down the, and she even named her ideal client the same name as this person. So she knows everything about her ideal client. And there's going to be some variation, right? But that gives you a starting point.
Definitely. Perfect. And then once we've done that, everybody always asks me when I talk about this, you know, they say, how do we know where our ideal client lives, on which platform, et cetera, et cetera. And I say, well, you got to do a bit of research. You got to spend some time playing on all the different platforms, trying to work it out, asking people, doing surveys. What's your take on that?
So those are all definitely great points to keep diving into. I start with the demographics, right? So if we're talking social media platforms, understanding who is on each platform is essential. Yep. You know, for instance, LinkedIn, those are going to be a lot of business owners, whether they're entrepreneurs or in corporate, they're business people.
Yep.
Age, you know, it's about 35 and up.
Yep.
There's, you know, varies on there. Facebook really covers the entire gamut of age groups, because even that 14, 15 year old is usually on there because grandma's on there and they're, you know, interacting with, or because they're following some, you know, star and they have a Facebook following.
Gotcha.
Instagram, you're usually looking at the 40 and under bracket.
Yep.
You'll always have the outliers, but, you know, that's kind of the general consensus. And when you're talking about things like the younger demographic, 20 and under, you're going to stick in Snapchat and like TikTok. That's where that great age group hangs out. So I like to put it this way. Think of the age you were when the social media platform came out.
Yep.
So if you were in the teenage demographic, that's who's going to be still in that platform.
Gotcha. And then obviously once you've done that, you know, we've probably done that more from an age point of view, then we still have to understand the psychographics.
Right.
And so how do you do that now?
So that's all about your message, right? And how you're communicating with people and what you're using to communicate with them. I will tell you, 90% of people, and the best bang for your buck is going to be video.
Okay.
People connect with video. It cuts down on that know, like, and trust length of time more than any other really platform or ability to connect.
Yep, 100% agree. I mean, I think video is the latest frontier, the new frontier. And a lot of people are a little bit scared of video because they don't, yes, you know, they don't want to get in front of the camera. They don't know how to speak in front of the camera. They get a bit scared, but I think it's important to practice and desensitize yourself. You know, it's a journey.
Yeah.
Video is here to stay, and it's very, very powerful.
It's something I always tell my clients, just start. I promise after two or three, it just gets easier.
Absolutely. And so I suppose also, you know, understanding psychographics is about understanding behavior and tracking behavior. Right. So you've really got to spend a bit of time just living on these platforms, seeing what happens, getting a feel for them, and then you start to understand where, you know, or, you know, how, what the psychographic is of your audience and how, yeah, you actually start playing into that.
And that goes really across all spectrums of your digital marketing. So it's not just social media, but also knowing when is a good time to send out an email.
Yep.
These are things that you're going to want to test and play with and practice. But some of your, you know, I was looking at one of my clients today. His audience opens his emails on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 8 a.m. So that's right, probably the best time to send out his emails.
Wow,
so yeah, knowing those kind of things, that really when they're going to be on there so that you can interact with them, is really important.
Gotcha. And what's your take on social media versus email marketing these days?
Oh, I think both are essential. Right. So I think they go hand in hand, right? Here's the reality about social media. It is an amazing platform. And at any time, Zuckerberg could shut down Facebook and Instagram.
Yep, yep.
And then you lose your entire audience.
Good point.
So if you have their email address, you get to control your ability to connect with them. So that's, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. I have had clients have, before they came to work with me, they were doing their own thing and got their accounts shut down because they weren't following Facebook rules.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so that's a whole process of getting them back up and running. But it handicapped them because they couldn't do what they normally do, which is a Facebook Live, or, if they had had all of their contacts or the majority of their audience's email address, they could have at least switched and continued to connect.
That's a really good insight. I really like that. That's really important for people to know, is that don't just rely on your social media contacts, because if God forbid something happens to the platform or your account, you've lost all your contacts.
Or if you have something like one of my clients did that, you know, forgot her password.
Yeah.
So the account's pretty much dead because she can't get back into it.
Yeah, very good point.
So then you're starting over again.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. And so then, in terms of what we're talking about today, the five steps to digital marketing, maybe let's run through those and give us your insight into,
yeah,
but I really want to get into the nuts and bolts.
I really like looking at marketing in terms of building relationships. And I think the easiest way for people to understand relationships is really dating, right? It's something that everybody has done in their life.
Yep.
And so I really have, in our company, we have five steps, which are all correlated around that idea. So we start with the introduction. Just like dating, right?
Yep.
You need to be introduced to one another.
Yep.
So that's really, in digital marketing, that's more about awareness, right? Gotcha. Letting them know you exist.
Yep.
Then we move to the connection phase. And this is really where you start generating leads, start generating conversions, connecting and getting email addresses. And just like in dating, that connection, you know, let's think of online dating, right? Swipe left, swipe right.
Yep.
That's the initial step of that connection. We then move on to stage three, which is really the dating part of it. That's where you're communicating with each other and building a relationship. If it's online, you're doing like email marketing, or maybe it's a course, or maybe it's, you know, a webinar, yep, something like that. That's really getting them to build that know, like, and trust for you.
Gotcha. You're putting out content that's valuable to them. You're sharing information. You're building that credibility and trust.
Exactly. Showing them that they can trust you, which moves on to what I like to call the commitment phase. Yep. That's where the money comes in, right? They start buying things from you.
I like it.
And the last part is another piece that people often forget about, and it's what I call keeping the romance alive.
Yep.
Because just like in a relationship, communication is key. So you want to continue to communicate with them, continue to provide value to them. That really builds that whole referral base and that whole point of they just come back. Every time you put something out, they're buying it. You know, they come back to you time and time again.
Yep. Yep.
So those are, you know, in a brief synopsis, the five stages that we use in our digital marketing process.
Awesome. And in your experience, which one or two do clients do the least well, or the ones that, which ones do they struggle with the most?
They often forget about step one and step five, the introduction and the keeping the romance alive.
Okay.
Those are the two pieces that people forget.
Yes.
Because a lot of times they jump right into the connection phase. They'll go straight into connection. And sometimes it's not like a dating app where you swipe left or swipe right, where you're going specifically on viewpoint. You really have to let them know who you are.
Yeah.
And start building an audience and a following. That really keeps people coming back and buying from you.
Great. I think a great analogy to that is, like, I get this a lot on Facebook and LinkedIn, and I used to do this, but I've changed my whole way of thinking. But when I've connected with somebody, or when somebody's connected with me, sometimes within 5 seconds or even in the connection email, I get a body of text that's about 10 paragraphs long, trying to sell me something, trying to promote something. And I've just connected with him. It's like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
It's romance, like, first. Let's just get to
exactly. It is absolutely like going from swiping left to being proposed to all in one swipe. And that doesn't work for anybody. It's really about creating connection and relationships, whether you're LinkedIn, if you're doing LinkedIn connections or Facebook connections, at least talk to the people for 5 minutes before you offer them whatever it is.
Absolutely. And so my view is definitely connect with people and then do nothing. Just put valuable content in front of them. And when they're ready, they'll come to you.
I agree with
that. That's my thought process in a way.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I will also add the caveat of if they are your ideal client from what you can see, invite them for virtual coffee.
Yeah, I like that.
Spend 15 or 20 minutes on Zoom, again, providing value, getting to know who they are before you start to sell them something.
Gotcha. Yeah. Do a bit of an intro call, have a chat about what they're looking, what their plans are, what they want to achieve.
Yeah, I do that quite often, and you would be amazed how many of those I literally go into them as a networking call just to get to know somebody, and you'd be amazed how many of them turn into sales calls. They come back to schedule a Discover call.
I love that.
Because I provided them with value and really got to know them first.
Yeah. And then you gave them an opportunity to trust you, to understand how you think. And then once they realize, she really knows what we're talking about here, I think she can really help us, let's go. Because people are, these days, it's such a noisy world, and particularly on social, it's very noisy. The volume of information, and it's just immense. So people don't know the forest from the trees. You have to kind of get to know them a little bit first. Once they trust you, then opportunities will open up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the last step, the step five, the keeping the romance alive that they often forget about, I would say this: I have a high percentage of referrals because I continue to stay in contact with my clients, current clients, past clients, and I have that relationship. So they are happy to refer people to me. And so that's also a really essential piece that people tend to forget about.
Wow, that's a great point. I think that's a really little nugget of gold there, you know, because your referrals do come from all your existing customers. And just because your existing customer doesn't buy from you right now doesn't mean they're not going to still refer you to everybody they know. So that's a huge point to really make sure you don't forget about stage five and keeping in touch with your target audience and providing valuable content and follow-up, even if you don't expect them to buy anything. I like that. Very, very cool. And so which platforms are you focusing on right now for yourself, just out of interest?
So I primarily work on Facebook and on LinkedIn. Those are my two target, really, audiences. We have a little bit of a presence on Instagram, but I'm going to be honest, I'm not an Instagram generation, and I just don't get the platform. So it's not an audience that I focus on, but we do have a lot of focus on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm the same, actually. I do a lot of stuff on Facebook, LinkedIn, a little bit of Instagram too, but Instagram is a little bit more limiting because you can't link and you can't do all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
That you can do on Facebook and LinkedIn. That's what I find. Yeah. Fantastic. So Jennifer, I'd love to, love for you to walk us through a story or two or an example or a case study where you've really been able to help a client do all this, or go through this process of five steps and really get some serious results. So,
I had a client come to me. I think we've been working together a year, 2 years, maybe thereabouts. When they first came to me, they weren't quite at the six-figure mark. She was a coach, and she was, she actually had started with one target market and then was redesigning her coaching program somewhere else. Yep. And so we really helped her do the process, the five steps of digital marketing, and really ramp up her business. It went from under six figures to closing out that first year at about 150.
Wow.
Okay, that year. This year, she's gone from that one-on-one coaching model that she booked out solid, moved into a more group coaching model that she's also sold out completely. And she's on track this year to break over 300K.
Wow. Fantastic.
It's been a lot of work, and we're continuing to work and tweak and really make that marketing effective for her.
Lovely. That's amazing. And it's a really good point for everybody out there as well, is that social media marketing is a very thought out strategy. It's a process. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of tweaking, a lot of, pivoting, getting feedback, working out what's working, what's not. A lot of people think, social media is just a little golden nugget. You can just put something up and all of a sudden you get all this amazing traction. It's a lot of work, and you have to really invest a long time and mindset into it.
Absolutely. And 5-10 years ago, that's exactly the way the platform was. You posted something, you got a lot of traction. Right. It is just not that way anymore. There are a lot of people competing, and there's a lot of noise. Yep. So you want to make sure that your message cuts through that noise.
Definitely. And it's got to be, you got to have a lot of quantity, in my opinion, but you've also got to have quality.
Exactly.
It's really a combination of the two. And so any tips that you could give people in terms of their content, just in general, anything that you think people would really benefit from, just understanding the nuances of how to create content?
So one of the things first, as we said earlier, video, get comfortable on it. Just get in there and do it, especially Facebook Lives. Facebook Lives are still really highly engaged. And Facebook is pushing out that content a lot more than other content. As far as written content, make sure, because Facebook is still an image-based platform, make sure you have a photo attached to your content.
Yep.
A photo that's going to catch their attention. Because like I said, there's a lot of noise. People are just scrolling. First of all, if you don't have a photo, sometimes they're going to scroll right past whatever you wrote. So you want to make sure you have a picture that's going to stop them.
Yep.
Oftentimes, it may not have anything to do with the content you wrote.
Yep, absolutely. A lot of the time it doesn't. It's just something engaging, something to stop them
in their tracks. Exactly. Puppies, babies, those things work great. You know, something that's going to, you know, and they start to read what it is you have to say. So those are two real key things when it comes to social media. LinkedIn does have live available. You'll have to apply for it. It's still in beta testing. I don't know when they're going to release it to everybody.
Gotcha.
But it is something that you can apply and try to get access to as well.
Awesome. And actually coming back to that, your last point, I think I've noticed on LinkedIn, you can get away with just written content or written form much more than on Facebook. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. I think that is accurate because the people on LinkedIn are not, I don't think they have quite as many, it doesn't have quite the volume of content that Facebook does.
Yep.
Facebook has a lot of content and LinkedIn just doesn't have that level of content yet. LinkedIn is also, you're really able to get a lot more organic reach than you could on Facebook. So if your target market is in the business world, that's a really good platform to use.
Definitely. And I've also noticed that groups are an incredible way to get serious traction on LinkedIn as well.
Yes.
Utilizing some groups that are going to be relevant to you or where your audience is going to be living.
Yes. Yes, groups are a big thing on both Facebook and LinkedIn. And developing your own group is also an option. They can create kind of a different kind of funnel, right? They're funneling into this free group where they get that interaction and they get to know, like, and trust you. And you have almost a captive audience.
Lovely.
To purchase your stuff.
And that's actually a really good question. People always ask me, but what is your view on the difference between a page and a group on Facebook?
They are completely different. So a page is, it's where you're going to post content, but you're not going to get as much interaction.
Okay.
A group, a closed group, is where the people in that group are going to communicate with one another, not just you.
Gotcha.
That's the whole goal of the group, is to create a community. Okay. Rather than a business page, is really just so that you can attract people to your business.
Awesome. And that's a really important marketing insight, is that you want to build a community. You want to build a tribe or a community of people that love your products or your services and refer you and interact on your platform under your umbrella. Because that's creating your brand. That's creating your buzz. So I think groups are really powerful. So does that mean that in a group, people can actually message each other privately, or is all done still on the platform?
I mean, that it's all done on the platform. That being said, you can, and it's all based on the rules you set up in the group, right? But people do take interactions from the platform, from the group in the platform, offline. They'll take them into instant messaging or email or maybe a phone call.
Okay, lovely. Perfect. Whereas in a page, there's less provision to do that. You kind of lock out.
Exactly. You have absolutely no permission to reach out to somebody else on your page.
More control by the owner of the page.
Exactly.
Okay, fantastic. So, I mean, look, Jennifer, that is absolutely sensational. You've given us some amazing ideas and really simplified the process of how people can really get their head around digital marketing and content marketing. If you stick to those basic five steps and just then you get creative, the more you do it, the more creative you become, and you can start playing with different strategies and creating different types of content within those five steps. And before you know it, you have a content marketing strategy.
Exactly. It can be a simple process if you put the work into it.
Yeah, true. And you can start to enjoy it. Like I do it every morning. I get up early, my first couple of hours, and you really start to have fun and get creative and enjoy it.
Exactly. It is fun. I love marketing. I mean, I think it's a fun place to be. And really, it's fun to start thinking about, I love psychographics because you start thinking about how people's minds work. And that is so interesting.
Absolutely. I always say to myself, it's really a game of psychology. And I love human interaction. I love observing human behavior. And I really love psychology. So for me, this is just another way to express that and play
exactly.
And understand human beings all in terms of how they behave on social media.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what I love about social media marketing, because it's so, it's like a game for adults.
It is. It is. And it's a fun game for adults, I think.
It's very strategic. Yeah.
And it's a good way to make money. Let's be honest. Absolutely. If your marketing is good, you're bringing in leads, you're going to make money off of it. So, yeah.
Definitely. And that's a really good point. I mean, you know, there's so many ways to market and advertise out there, but social media now is at scale. The internet is at scale. It's amazing what you can achieve when you really look after your marketing, and you can even do that organically without spending any money.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing what you can achieve if you just really put your mind to a serious social media marketing strategy and execute it every day with a bit of patience and persistence and consistency. And yes, over time, you build your tribe, and it's amazing what happens. And then, as you say, you start getting referrals, and your awareness grows and grows and grows. And sometimes you haven't spent a dollar on advertising.
Yeah, that is absolutely possible as long as you're willing to commit to doing it.
Absolutely. So Jennifer, how do people get in touch with you if we want to understand more?
The easiest way to get a hold of me is through my website, virtualmarketingexpert.com, or on Facebook, Facebook/virtualmarketingexperts. Those are the two locations that you can find me on LinkedIn, Jennifer Tamborski. And I'd love to just connect, communicate, and, you know, really start building those relationships.
Awesome. And you're happy to work with anybody around the world?
So I am happy to work with anybody around the world. We do focus primarily on coaches, consultants, and course creators. Okay. So those are the people who we work with most often, but I'm ecstatic to work with that demographic anywhere.
Love it. Fantastic, Jennifer. Well, I'm going to put all those notes, all those links in the show notes.
Awesome.
And one thing I always ask the guests to do before we leave is to give us one or two tips that you can leave the audience with for them to really implement straight away and get some traction or some results with their digital marketing. What can they do right now?
So I would say tip number one is to really sit down and work out your target market.
Okay.
Like that is, so I have, there's five marketing mistakes that I see most often. Number one is that target market. You have to know who you're talking to, because when you talk to anybody and everybody, nobody listens.
I like that. Yep.
The second tip, once you've done that, make sure that you're selling just one thing. Right. Focus on one item or one funnel that you're going to make effective. Once that's effective, you can move on to other things.
Gotcha.
But by focusing on the one thing, it really allows you to start making those tweaks and those changes to your marketing.
Gotcha. Because otherwise, but the audience gets a bit confused.
They get incredibly confused.
What happens if someone does a few different things?
I still say, so when you have a clear, consistent message and they fall in love with who you are and what you do, that one thing that you do, they can ask you about other things. And if you have other things, you can offer that. But by selling everything, they don't really understand what you do. There's a saying that's the niches, the riches are in the niches, and it's incredibly true.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, the more specialized you can become and really understanding your area of expertise to the nth degree, you know, then people want to access your knowledge and your experience and engage with you because you are the expert in that area. Otherwise they can,
exactly,
you know, they can go and learn anything else from Google or from a book or whatever.
Absolutely.
Fantastic, Jennifer. Well, look, really appreciate you joining us all the way from Missouri this morning, or this evening for you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. And you know, you've given us a lot of great tips and insights that people can really utilize in their content marketing. So I'm going to put all that in the notes for everybody. And Jennifer, thank you again for joining us. And for everybody out there, we'll be back very, very soon for another episode. So hope you're well and enjoy your day, and bye for now.